You're listening to a Whales or Whales production.
You're also listening to Whales.
Visit whalesorwhales.com for more projects and shows like this one. This is the Overclocked Podcast, a weekly dose of video game music news and conversation from ocremix.org.
This week, we'll unearth a new album of tuneful horror, pretend to shake Austin Wintory's hand thanks to his work on Assassin's Creed Syndicate, talk with Andrew Lewers about crafting an Ace Attorney auditory story, and recommend some lovely accordion music to all those accordion fans out there.
What? I don't understand what's going on.
Hello there, and welcome to the Overclocked Podcast. I'm Steven, one of your two hosts.
And I am Brian, one of your other hosts.
Yeah.
The other host.
And we happen to be brothers, which is why we have such camaraderie and charm.
And just, you know, inherent synergy. We get this right the first time.
So by this point, you're probably wondering who we are and why we're here at all.
Why there's that OC Remix looking logo on this podcast, and why we're on the OC Remix forum, and why apparently we're producing OC Remix stuff when you've probably never heard of us.
Yeah, well, luckily it was not a terrible mistake, or so we hope. But we have been fans of Overclocked Remix for many years, and we are also pseudo-professional podcast producers. So those two things sort of came together to make this thing happen.
Yes, we have been podcasting almost as long as we have been OC Remixing. Actually, our original video game music podcast, we went to OC Remix and we're like, hey, can we use your music for our intro and outro stuff?
Yes.
That was some of our first interactions with them.
Speaking of our older podcasts, they're all hosted on a website called whalesorwhales.com. And that's basically just like a network of creative projects for us and our friends to make cool stuff that we like doing.
Exactly.
And for about a year and a half, one of those cool things that we liked doing was a video game music podcast called Train Station at 8. Yes, that's an Animal Crossing reference. Thank you to whoever got that.
I got it.
And we loved doing that. And it was, we met a ton of great people through it, including some OC Remixers. But when we had Sharik on the show, and you may know him as Darksword, we ended up discussing with him the idea of producing a podcast for Overclocked Remix, since they didn't have one anymore. And we were very okay with doing that. In fact, we were perhaps beside ourselves with excitement, fist pumping in the air repeatedly.
Like this.
And after some... Yeah. Thank you for the visual aid.
Exactly. This wonderful video podcast was enhanced greatly.
And after lots of planning and tearing down our plans and replanning, we're finally here with the Overclocked Podcast.
Absolutely. Couldn't be more excited to get going on this episode.
Yes, after our long preamble. So what this show is going to be is sort of a combination of some quick conversations between Brian and I, also talking with some people that we interview about music they create, often OC Remixers, kind of rounding up recent news, basically a place where you can check in and see what has been going on in the video game music scene in the past week and catch up on everything.
Exactly.
But what we're actually going to do is a little segment that I like to call the secret songs.
And because we're not doing the intros again.
No, we don't have any.
Oh, shit.
We don't have any bumpers.
Starting to do all of these segment noises. All right.
No, that's okay. And because we have grown up together being brothers and all,
right,
we have a very similar frame of reference for music and everything else.
Yes.
And so we decided that it'd be fun to kick off each episode with a little hunt to find a song that the other has not heard before, or even if they have, we can get live commentary on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So do you want to start with my secret song or your secret song?
I want to start with my secret song.
Okay. So to clarify, we have not heard these before, hopefully.
Well, Steven, have you ever heard of a song called One Winged Angel?
I've never heard it in context.
All right, good enough. No, really. Yes, so this was an interesting one for me. I kind of panicked because I haven't been listening to a lot of new video game music recently. I haven't listened to stuff like the recent OC Remix album, but, you know, all that stuff you've been listening to as well.
Yes.
Or would probably know pretty well, since it's part of our stint here at OC Remix. So I'm like, maybe that's not the best stuff to pull from. And a lot of the other music I'm listening to is non-video game music, or video game music you've already heard before, like the To the Moon soundtrack.
Yeah.
So I decided to go with something. You do know the game, but I don't believe you've listened to the entire soundtrack for it. I even decided to do some research espionage before and looked at my your iTunes library, and I didn't see the soundtrack in it anywhere.
Oh no. Well, so, now I'm worried because my secret song is in my iTunes library.
All right, that's okay. I didn't look very deeply.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. It is. All right. Do I say what it is now?
No. What we're gonna do is we're gonna do 1, 2, 3 and click on the link.
Okay.
And then I'm not going to look at my screen because I don't want to know what it is.
Okay. And then we're gonna.
I'm just gonna listen to it.
Okay. Okay. Ready?
Wait. I'm ready.
Okay.
One. Who's counting?
You.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, click.
Wait, 1, 2, 3, click.
Okay, I'm listening. It sounds like techno.
It does.
Oh, it sounds like it might even be like DS or... Okay.
Not far off.
Okay, am I closer by saying it might be GBA?
Yes. Well, technically it's on DS and
GBA. Is this Scourge the Hive?
It is.
Scourge the Hive! Okay, that's a fun one. Because the person whom we desperately want to be our friend, Jake Kaufman, composed this song.
Yeah.
This whole soundtrack.
When playing it, we actually had no idea he did, but just listen to this melody here.
Oh, I like it! Cool because it has an uneasy like soundscape sort of,
right?
But it also has like a groove.
Well, the game itself is a very like Metroid style game where you're a like space bounty hunter alone in an alien planet trying to survive against hordes of enemies. It was very much a Metroidvania style of exploration and stuff, so it was cool to see Jake Kaufman kind of approach that genre, which I don't think he's done in very many other games.
Yeah, it's like they said, make Metroid music that you can dance to.
Yeah, so what do you think of it?
I love it. I've heard a lot of the other sound pieces in the soundtrack, but not that one. You're correct. So,
all right.
Yeah, that's really good. Good choice.
All right, is yours as good?
In my mind... Personally, just taking this from me with a grain of salt,
okay,
I like it more.
All right, let's go.
All right, so we're gonna do 1, 2, 3, click.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, click.
Ah, The Sims.
So have you heard this before?
I have not. I haven't listened to any recent Sims music. I've just heard what you always show me from Sims 3.
Well, that's interesting because this is Sims 4.
Okay. Yeah, well, now it's starting to sound real different.
Yeah, let's just listen to this. Well, appropriately, the song is called Here Comes the Autumn.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
I couldn't find very many autumnal songs.
Autumnal. It might be the first time I've ever heard that word.
Really? I love
autumnal?
That word.
Maybe autumnal. Pronounced that way. Yeah, this is beautiful stuff. Do you know, like, the context of where this plays?
I have no clue.
Okay.
I just know the soundtrack because I've listened to it dozens of times.
Sims 4?
Yeah. I love it.
I didn't know you got that soundtrack.
Well, I've been saving it for 3 months so I could make it a secret song.
Oh my gosh.
But it's become maybe my favorite soundtrack of the year.
Wow.
It's able to be whimsical, but also, you know, beautiful and relaxing, yeah. And I just don't get tired of it.
Very cool. Yeah, I actually am starting to realize Soundtrack of the Year is going to be interesting. I haven't started really considering that before, but with the year...
Oh, did you hear that part?
No, I just closed out of it, actually. Oh, I thought okay. We were done.
No, it's fine. It's okay. Fine.
So I very much did not hear that part.
I'll replicate it for you. It's like, with the string going, dun 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 dun.
Beautiful.
Dun 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 dun.
That's great.
Yeah,
I like the vibrato. Very good control of the whatever string it was.
Thanks.
The vocal cord.
All right. Well, that's it for our secret songs this time. I will include the songes that we picked in the show notes so you can go and listen to them for yourself without us yelling over them the whole time.
All right. Well, let's jump into our next segment here, which is the Remix Rewind.
Okay. Let's see what happened last week. Let's look at the...
Weisty and XPRT Novice bring us a jazz rendition of Tifa's theme, equal parts mellow and melancholy. There's a deep sense of sentimental nostalgia behind the snare-backed saxophone lead, which does its part, delivering the source's lyrical melody with plenty of style to spare.
Yep, okay, I'm already feeling anxious. Dungeons to Explore by Pokerus targets how it felt to be lost and desperate in one of the more death by everything of dungeons from A Link to the Past. Chiptunes, electric guitars, and whiz ropes. So many whiz ropes.
A new album has appeared!
Another Halloween has come and gone without dark spirits enslaving our world, and with its passage came the third and final volume to OC Remix's trilogy of Castlevania albums, Vampire Variations. Brandon Strader, Goat, Rexy, S-Beast, and many more combined their considerable talent to hold the demons and devils at bay with an artful array of arrangements spanning 2 discs and 24 tracks. We'll just be running through a few of our favorites here to give you a taste of what's to come. Tasked with adapting the atmospheric energy of Super Castlevania IV's lengthy soundtrack, and determined to end on an epic note, director Alexander Moore encouraged an orchestral emphasis across the album. After all, there's nothing like a good cello to match the majesty of Dracula's castle. Except, maybe, you know, a good electric guitar? Georges and co-conspirators Tubers McGee and Furlas kick things off with just such a display in Selva Oscura. And I swear, if I pronounced all of that right, or any of that right, I deserve a medal. With Forest of Evil Spirits as a base, Johto first weaves together an eerie atmosphere of string and woodwind, only to kick it to life with a driving drum kit and punchy power chords. Lengthy as it is varied, this track is well worth a full listen. And another one. And what the heck, what's one more? Taking a turn for the sinister, we have Slimy's Deadly Furniture. If you thought the banquet hall wasn't classy enough as it was, perhaps this elegant blend of harpsichord, organ, and dark power can convince you otherwise. If nothing else, Deadly Furniture wins us over with its pure dedication to the concept, staying true to its symphonic roots throughout, and delivering a beautifully produced masterpiece of malice. Speaking of dedication to a concept, let's talk about Pirate Crab. Specifically, let's talk about Pirate Crab's latest Shredfest and Candles Galore. While this may not have been what first popped to mind for the source track Secret Room, it's hard to complain about the pure crunchy goodness Pirate Crab so effortlessly slams out. This is probably the kind of piece that Dracula insists is beneath him, then rocks out to when nobody's looking. What is a man but a miserable pile of secrets, after all? Finally, we have legendary Sam Dillard living up to his legendary reputation with The Night King's Lament. Remember that bit about matching the majesty of Dracula's castle? This is exactly what I was talking about. Using a more subtle and layered approach, Sam takes the already moody Dracula's room and builds it towards a spine-tingling climax among Hollywood's finest. Seriously, are you listening to this? I mean, I assume you are, but still.
To download Vampire Variations 1 through 3 and transcend your own dark nightmares, just head over to vampire.ocremix.org. And we're back. Wow, Brian, I was mesmerized by your great breakdown of Vampire Variations Volume 3.
You know, honestly, me too. I was actually in a trance from Dracula that entire time.
Oh, no kidding. You were in a trance... Olvania.
All right, we need to start this over.
I swear that wasn't planned. That was not us reading off the script. We really are that bad. Like I said, this important whales or whales fact number two, tell bad jokes.
Wait, wasn't that fact? Oh, whatever.
Whatever, man. So the point is we have some news items here with Ripped, Zipped, and Extracted from the Headlines, where we take a look at the larger scope of video game music going-ons.
Yep. This week, a new podcast has been released from ocremix.org.
Oh, really? Is it well-received?
Nope.
Aww.
It's also not ours.
Uh-oh. Well, we better get to the news before the competition boots us out of town.
All right.
And first thing is the Assassin's Creed Syndicate soundtrack. It is out.
Oh my gosh, what's Assassin's Creed?
Assassin's Creed is a long run.
This is going to be a long news segment.
I'm not going to tell you what Assassin's Creed is, but I will tell you that Syndicate is a specific entry in the series that takes place in London. So lots of top hats, really, I'm just assuming.
You literally can fight with a cane, I believe.
Yes, you literally can. And Austin Wintory literally composed this
literally,
soundtrack.
Not figuratively.
Yeah. And I didn't really know that until the game was released, actually. And I was surprised and delighted and started
listening.
Yeah,
did they, like, hide it? Because I heard all these people mentioning it all at once. It was very confusing for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe just because it was coming out, but it seemed like so many people were surprised all at once that he is doing it. See, if there was a podcast that put people through this sort of news when it was originally announced, we wouldn't run into this.
That is so true that we're going to run that other fake podcast out of business.
Exactly.
But I guess, to be honest, I was maybe a little cynical about this whole thing, because I'm like, Austin Wintory, you know, does music for games like Journey and like weird little projects like Monaco. Mm-hmm. And isn't Assassin's Creed more of a mainstream, you know,
is he palatable? Selling out to the man?
Is he selling out to the man? And well, you could say that in a way he is playing along with Ubisoft's rules, wherein he's not allowed to stream the music on Bandcamp, but instead you have to go to Ubisoft's personal music channel on YouTube. But that said, Austin was saying that this soundtrack was really, really personal for him, despite the sort of AAA trappings that you would expect.
Right.
And I believe if you buy the soundtrack, at least on Bandcamp, you can get a little PDF that in which he tells stories about that, which
That's
sounds
awesome.
Pretty awesome to me. But the soundtrack is just phenomenal. I loved it. I know you haven't listened to it yet, but it has 35 or 36 tracks, and I've just loved every single one so far.
I listened to about 10 seconds of the track you can preview on Bandcamp, The Assassin Two-Step, and I'm already on board.
That one's so good.
I mean, it's named The Assassin Two-Step, so, you know.
I love it. It's just the there's so many, I don't know, violins and cellos, and they're just so sharp and...
It reminds me of the Worgen music in Cataclysm, because definitely. That was another example of a video game doing, like, super overblown but exceedingly well-produced Victorian-era music.
Yeah. You can just see those, the grimy streets and the smog in the air and the... Yeah. The people with knives in the back alleys, and it's very fun.
Yeah, I haven't really got... I played Assassin's Creed 1 and 2, haven't really gotten into the series or even kept up with the soundtrack since then, so this might be my first time of dipping my toe at least back into the music of the series. Because it has been good. What I've heard of 3 and stuff I've enjoyed, since I lost a connection with the series, I haven't really kept up with it that much.
And just Austin Wintory and this era, this aesthetic they're going for, are two things that I personally love.
Right. Also, gotta give a shout out to this album art. It's amazing.
The album? Oh, yeah. It's like the clock tower with the Assassin's Creed logo in the middle.
Yeah, it's like a clock face, but the clock hands are the Tinglehead Assassin's Creed logo.
And I don't know, there's something about it. I'm still surprised when, quote unquote, indie artists suddenly make it big, when Big Giant Circles did the music for Black Ops or whatever.
Right.
It exactly. always surprises me. It's pretty cool.
Exactly.
But anyway,
John Williams did the soundtrack for Star Wars 7. I don't... Man, they're really bringing in some unknowns for that one. So.
I know. That guy was famous in the 70s, but really? Okay, what's number two? What's news article number two?
Well, that's a great question. We have an announcement that Dragon's Dogma Online is going to receive a 2-disc commercial soundtrack. So Dragon's Dogma Online is a free-to-play RPG sequel from Capcom to the original Dragon's Dogma, and it is now getting a physical edition of the soundtrack. It's going to... That soundtrack was composed by, oh my gosh, I had to pronounce names, such as Tadayoshi Makino.
We'll take turns. What's the next name?
No, I got this. It's Tadayoshi Makino. Wait, okay. Is it Makino or Makino?
It's probably...
It's E.
I think it must be Makino.
Yeah, Tadayoshi Makino. We're going to go with
Makino.
That.
Yeah.
So that took us a long time. Yeah. He returned as the music director and lead composer from the original, and he's joined by Azusa... Wait, okay.
Azusa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Azusa Kato. A Kato. Newcomer.
Is it Kato?
This new... What?
I think it'd be Kato. Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. K-A-T-O. I can at least spell if I can't do anything else. This news comes to us from VGMonline.net.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, this is exciting stuff. Dragon's Dogma, what did you think of the original soundtrack of that game, Steven? I'm having trouble recalling it that well.
Okay, well, first of all, they had the title screen done by a Japanese pop rock artist, BZ.
Or BZ.
Or bzz.
I like to say that artist is the bee's knees.
Those are the kinds of jokes I like to hear on our show. Yep. I love the intro, obviously. Who wouldn't?
Right.
The actual in-game music I find to be effective and unimpressive.
Okay.
Personally, it sounds a little bit too generic, a little too background-y for my tastes.
Sure.
I like to have a little bit of melody in my fantasy. But I mostly stuck this news story in here because I'm so happy that A, Dragon's Dogma still exists, and B, they're still releasing massive soundtracks for it.
Right. I mean, physical soundtracks have always been a much bigger and more common occurrence in Japan.
Very true.
So at least they're not giving up on that yet. Like we.
Well, I was worried that they were just going to throw the Dragon's Dogma license under the bus, but they seem to be supporting it.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But we have one more news segment. And this is Prescription for Peace, a tribute for the departed. You might be familiar with the Prescription 4 series, I guess it's now a series, when they did Prescription for Sleep, which was a duo of albums that was designed to help you get to sleep at night.
Indeed.
And the artist who creates these albums are Gentle Love, and that's a duo between two well-known video game musicians. And their stuff is put out by Scarlet Moon Productions, which helps do PR for the video game music scene and also produces music itself. This particular album is a tribute to two people, one being Satoru Iwata, who passed away somewhat recently, and he was the president and CEO of Nintendo, and everyone loved him, including us. And the other person is Eiki Oshima, who was the mentor, musically, to one of the contributors in Gentle Love. And so they put this two-part EP together simply to remember these two very important people. And the proceeds are going to the American Cancer Society and their memories. So it's
That's fantastic.
Kind of an amazing project, and it sounds beautiful, and it's kind of impossible to miss all of the meaning that they put behind it.
Right. So if you... A recommendation for anyone, put aside the money that you're planning to import a 2-CD Dragon's Dogma online soundtrack and maybe yes. put that towards a good cause with Prescription for Peace. That's awesome.
But that said, you only, you know, you can pay whatever you want. So yes. if you don't have the probably $80 that it would take to get the Dragon's Dogma.
60,000 yen.
Yes. Then you're set. You're good. You're ready to go.
That's great.
Yeah. So if you pick up one thing from all the music that we're playing and recommending in this episode, that might be the one to do.
Yep, I totally agree.
That said, that will round up the Ripped, Zipped, and Extracted from the Headline News this week. And
yep,
we'll
you can get all of the original articles and links to the specifics in our show notes if you want to go and buy those albums.
So true. But that leads us to our first interview, and this time
Gasp.
It is with Andrew Lures, also known as OA. I'm sure you know him and love him if you're a regular at Overclock Remix. He's been remixing for a long time, and he's heavily involved in the site. And
he did our logo.
What a nice guy. He really is a nice guy, though.
He is, also, yeah. We don't just mean that in the we worked with him, so we're contractually obligated to say that.
No, we worked with him intentionally.
Exactly. Yeah, he's great.
He had a lot to say and answered a lot of personal questions we had. Well, not personal questions, but questions.
What is your social security number?
And believe it or not, he answered. No, I just had a lot of questions about the particular remix that we wanted to talk about. So you can hear all about that now in the Intune interview. This is the Intune interview, returning again to talk to more composers about the music that they compose. I'm Steven. Brian, you chime in and say I'm Brian.
Oh, yes. I'm Brian.
Yep. Thank you for that.
Yep.
And we return here with Andrew Lures, also known as OA. A lot of you might already know him, but if not, here's his intro. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
So could you let our fine listeners know a little bit about who you are and what it is you do?
Sure. So I am a remixer and judge at Overclocked Remix. I've probably remixed maybe like 35, 40-ish tracks under either my own name or groups or potentially other pseudonyms. So of the remixers on the site, I'm probably one of the more prolific, probably in the top 10 or 15. Remixes tend to be in a bunch of different styles. I have a lot of things that come from... They have a lot of similarities in a lot of my tracks, but it does get mixed up from time to time.
That's true. And I know you as two things. One, someone who is always rocking some like incredible synth work and or electric guitar work that's very upbeat and poppy a lot of the time. And the guy who drives me crazy because when I try to search for you in iTunes, OA brings up like every single album and song that I have.
Yeah.
And
I've debated several times with a name change, but at this point, like OA, it's
kind of established.
Yeah, I'm coming up on my 10-year anniversary from when I joined OCR. So I think by now, it's been a while. Time flies.
That's great. Well, that's cool. I'm very glad to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
So, I think it was me who actually suggested this song, giving you some ideas. I might have chosen from a few of my favorites, but the one we ended up going with was one from the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney series. Or is it the other way around? I forget.
No, I think that's right.
But it's called Carry the Moment, and it's actually one of my favorite songs that you've composed. I guess let's start with, what's your history with the Ace Attorney series? Is it one you've played a lot?
I initially had heard the music before I played the game and really enjoyed it. I think due to the sound chip quality of the DS when it first came out, or even, actually, it first came out in the Game Boy Advance, but then was, was ported to the DS for the United States. They had to go with a more classic game sound, which is, you know, tuneful, like really melodic, you know, really rich harmonies, because it couldn't have really deep soundscapes. And that sort of music, like you said before, I like really, you know, like melodic poppy music, and with like a lot of high energy and upbeat. Phoenix Wright captures pretty much all of those points right there. So, the music initially spoke to me, and then, I tried playing the game a little bit too, and I enjoyed the game a lot. Like, it's really well written and it's clever. But I have not played every game in this series.
Well, I'm the same way. I will swear by the first Ace Attorney game, at least the first one that came to the U.S. I don't know if that was the first one or not. But for some reason, I just couldn't push my way through all the other ones. Maybe because I constantly get stuck. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do love the music.
Yeah. No, and even if, you know, even if a new game comes out and I don't play the game itself, I always check out to see what, you know, what the composers have come up with.
And for those who haven't played the Ace Attorney series, I think one of the notable things about the music is that even though it's dealing with court cases, it's scoring them like a fighting game, essentially. Really often melodramatic, exciting, energetic tunes. Which is, well, we'll get into that soon.
I'd say it, like, it's scoring it kind of like a fighting game. I see it more of it like scoring it like an anime. Like, that's...
Oh, that's a good point.
It has that larger than life, everything is the most emotional moment ever at all times. Whatever the emotion is.
Yeah.
They're scoring it like an anime fighting game.
Ooh, well played. Yep, I can see it.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, so you have actually done a few Ace Attorney remixes in the past. So when you went with Carry the Moment, why did you want to do this one? What was the angle you were going for?
I my very first remix that ever got accepted to OCR was a Phoenix Wright song. And then probably a couple of years later, I did a second one. And I thought it'd be good to, because there was so much good music to remix, kind of make a little trilogy and kind of close it out. And so I figured, you know, I had one that was like, the first one was kind of like, a bittersweet ending theme, like, but triumphant, but, you know, like, kind of like looking back to the past, it felt kind of nostalgic. Second one was more of like a, like an upbeat kind of ballad, like just kind of like breezy and fun. And the third one, I thought, you know, let's do something really, really energetic, like super hype. And there's so many good tracks that are remixable that I was like, well, I'll combine a couple, you know, make a little medley.
Yeah. That's cool. And it's also, I think your first Phoenix Wright song was the first song that I heard from you, so that might be one of the reasons that I identify your style with it so strongly.
Sure.
But that's cool. And I guess this is probably a good time to actually play the song, for those of you curious. So we'll jump into that and then come back for some more fun questions.
We'll be right back.
That was Carry the Moment from OA, who luckily is still here with us and hasn't left yet.
That was a close one.
Question number one for this remix. What source tunes did you use and why did you pick them?
It was the... Let's see. I wanted to first, like, I know it starts at the ending, but I wanted to call back to the Turnabout Sisters theme. Uh-huh. And so... Even though it happens at the very end, that was the first one that I actually really considered. And then I noticed that Cornered. And I believe it's Allegro. Oh, man. I'm gonna say the wrong source. Cornered is the main theme that's used.
Oh, yeah. It was Testimony, right?
Yeah,
Testimony.
Yeah, I believe so. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm cheating and I have my notes up.
Okay. Maybe I should have done the same. I mean, to be fair, Cornered was like the main theme, and
right.
Testimony, I noticed that there's some similarities in... parts where they both have like an extended vamp where they can fit over each other pretty well, and I thought that'd be kind of fun to just play around and see how I could what kind of new sounds and textures I could get by combining the two sources.
That's really interesting, because I actually thought that this this remix was only pulling from two sources when I first listened to it, because you had kind of combined those two songs so seamlessly.
Yeah, I had the same impression, where I just, all of the, you know, tense dramatic music, I thought was all from the same source at first, because yeah, it did blend together really well.
Cool, well, thank you. Yeah, I guess that's a success.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely.
Well done.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to identify that. And so with, did you ever like think throughout the process that you wouldn't end up adding the Turnabout Sisters theme, because it didn't fit with the others as much, or do you really want to have that there as well?
I would admit that, like, that the transition to the Turnabout Sisters theme is a bit forced, and I'd say, as for transitions go, maybe like a 7 out of 10 in success. I mean, with rock music, you generally can make transitions forced pretty easily with like a really like a full, you know, a full 4-measure drum fill. And then like a bass fill as well, where it kind of melodically leads you into the next part.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that this is a full success into the transition, but it does kind of, I'd say it works well enough, but if there's one thing I could go back, in the song and change, it would be spend maybe a little more time extending that section so it's a smoother transition.
Okay.
I mean, it makes sense that it would be a difficult transition to make, because it's a really hard write in terms of tone. Like, you didn't change the song into like a minor key or make it super fast to fit the other stuff. You really, it sounded like, wanted to keep the spirit of the original Turnabout Sisters theme alive.
Yeah.
So it's such a tone shift that I think there's going to be a little bit of that line there that you can, that I can see being pretty darn hard to blur.
Yeah, definitely. And I do think that there is a pretty, like, it worked out well enough that there's a definite emotional shift too, that it starts to kind of feel triumphant, that it, you know, you can tell that, okay, the song is probably going to be winding down a little bit.
Yeah.
From a listener's perspective, it really sounds like you're in this, you know, nail-biting, sweat-inducing court case, and then suddenly everything goes right, and you've won the day, and you can relax.
It's funny, because that's typically how the games go. You're doing a really tense court case, and then at the end, you know, Maya comes up and says, "Great job, Nick!" And it's like, oh, good, everything's happy now.
Oh, wait, yeah, what?
Spiky my hair is.
Nice.
Exactly.
Actual quote.
I love those games.
Yeah, me too. So here's a question I have for you. Most of the main melodies are kind of split between the kind of a synth sound and, well, I won't say an electric guitar, because I think it actually goes acoustic at some point.
Yep.
But how did you go about combining those two things, and how did you decide which would take the main stage at what points?
Oftentimes I'll just kind of go by feeling. I am cognizant frequently when I'm writing that I want to mix up the textures and the tones at least enough to keep them interesting. Even if certain bars, if there's a repeat or something of a section, I always make sure that there's going to be either like a new counter melody that comes in, or like the drum rhythm is changed up, or the bass gets more complicated, or sometimes the lead will change as well. And then other times, like specifically this one, where it goes into like the sort of like goes to acoustic guitar lead with like clean electric backing, and like kind of like a drum loop in the background, as opposed to like a regular kit playing. Regardless of what I'm doing in a song, I want to make sure that it's listenable, you know, 20, 30, 40 times, that you always be hearing something new that you haven't heard before. And so even though oftentimes I'll have simple structures and, you know, I don't get too progressive in a lot of my remix work, I want to make sure that the songs themselves have longevity and you can listen to it a lot without getting sick of it.
That's a very, very video game mindset.
Yeah.
Like, when you look for video game soundtracks, that's oftentimes what they're aiming for, at least some of the more classic ones. You know, they're going for something that's extremely listenable. Even if sometimes they're simple, they can be heard over and over again.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that's what personally draws me to game music, like from a from a listener's perspective.
Yeah, is, that's awesome.
So, and I guess I just like to put some of that into my own work as well.
So I've got to ask, was it intentional to have most of the sort of synthy electronic elements cut out so the acoustic guitar could take, you know, could kind of take the main stage, and then you have the synth solo, and then the end you have the electric guitar and the synth playing at the same time? Was that intentional, or am I making stuff up? Because I thought that was awesome.
I would say that it's like, I wouldn't say every single aspect of that is intentional, but there's definitely, I wanted to have a sort of narrative. So if you're listening to the song, you're imagining, so you get this court case, it's really intense. There's maybe one part where like things change and they get a little bit subdued for a bit. And then there's like near the end, after like the break period, then like things get really serious and it goes to like, goes back to the vamp and then like trading solos. And I think I probably should have changed the synth tones slightly, or one of the synth tones, because they sound somewhat similar. But there's actually two different synths going back and forth doing, you know, like soloing for a bar and then trading up.
Oh.
And like one of them sounds a little bit more of like a brass synth, and one of them sounds more like just a monoglide, like analog synth. But the intent was kind of like the prosecution and the defense kind of battling back and forth. And so, which is why, like, you know, like the first solo, pretty good. There's like some flashy stuff. Second solo ups the game a little bit and adds like a couple of different harmony parts. And then it goes back to the original solo and it just gets like super crazy, like 30-second notes and like a bunch of like insane runs and stuff.
Wow, that actually makes total sense. I think I was subconsciously acknowledging that, but I hadn't actually thought of it yet.
It definitely had the structure to me of like a solo battle, but I didn't actually notice the tone differences.
Yeah, that was a misstep on my part. I should have made the second one a little bit different, but
yeah,
you know, live and learn.
Exactly, great song. Yeah, by the way.
Makes sense.
So you really had that story structure in mind, which kind of makes me wonder. You kind of answered this before, but at what point did you decide to include like an official ending? Was that an idea in there from the beginning, or did you like experiment midway through?
It's actually started with the ending, and then the rest of the song was, how do I get to this point?
Okay.
How
okay.
do I earn this ending?
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah. You have to,
that's awesome.
You have to score enough points to get the good ending as opposed to like the the false ending or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah,
another good video game analogy.
Yep.
So we've talked about a couple of things you would have done differently. Do you have like a favorite part of the arrangement or one that you're most proud of?
I do, but that's not it.
What are you most proud of?
Okay. Yeah. Actually, yeah, Brian, I'm curious here. Like,
sure. It's actually for me the very beginning when you hear those couple synth notes build up, and then the main melody starts in synth while the electric guitar backing comes behind it. That to me is just so blood pumping and energetic. I just love it. And it totally puts me in that mindset of, when that music starts in Phoenix Wright is when things start to really get real. And I felt that moment in the song was just got that down exactly. So I just love that every time.
Cool. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite parts too, that like I was really trying to really amp up the intensity and like lead it up just enough. And then it just kind of like, it cuts out and then you can't, it's hard to hear without headphones, but on one side, like the synth for the melody comes in, on the other side, like the prosecutor synth, quote unquote, like the, does like a drop as well. So it tries
That's super cool.
So I'm really hoping in whatever program you used to create the music, I'm hoping you were able to label the various synths prosecutor and defendant.
I did not do that, but for the sake of the legend of this song or whatever, we'll pretend that I did, right?
We'll find the project file and edit it. Yeah.
Yep. I can go in. I can go in. I have it saved.
Nice. So is that your answer as well, or do you have a different part?
I thought that as far as synth soloing, this one was probably, I feel that I had some really exciting lines that weren't just flashy for being flashy sake, but there's also like a lot of really good like melodic substance to them.
Oh yeah, cool. I agree.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Yeah. I think that like my goal was specifically to have the first solo be cool, but able to be one upped by the next solo. and the next solo would be the step up there, and the third solo to be like, you know, like the Omega solo or whatever.
Yep.
And actually, when I was making this, I was talking a lot with my buddy Will Rock, who also is a rock and synth guy. And I was like, hey, man, you know, I'm calling you out with this song here. Like, this is my, like, the gauntlet is being thrown. So
it would have been awesome if you could have gotten him to collab and have you guys battle back and forth for the synth solos. That would have been a lot of fun.
It's something we've discussed in the past. And I think we just need to get schedule-wise, have it happen. There was one year he did actually fly out from the UK to Magfest, and we had him perform live with OCU, which was pretty great. We gave him a, you know, he just learned one of our songs, and then we gave him like a solo, and he in addition to being like a really good synth wizard, he can shred on the guitar too. So
so good.
Have you ever played this song live before?
This song live? No, I have not.
Okay.
I'm not sure how I would play the guitar and the synth. The synth part, man, there was a lot of like a lot of like crazy studio magic. Like,
yeah,
there was that was back when I had my like keyboard like set up in a really good spot, and there was, I don't even want to know how many takes. But it was basically like, I don't know. I had to piece together some things. Like, you get like the perfect thing, and then you flub one note, and it's like, well,
yeah,
all right, I'm just gonna fix that one note. Because
if you're in MIDI, yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's super nice. But like playing it live, I think I'd just be too intimidated. Like,
it's insane. Yeah,
sent me those files that, you know, took away some of the drums and background noise, so I could hear the main instruments better. And I was like listening, like, for flubs. I'm like, come on, he's got to mess up at some point. There's got to be some little note in here. But no, it was really good.
Yeah, typically for my studio stuff, I'll clean it up as best I can. You know, every once in a while something slips through, but for this one, I was like, okay, this is like this has got to be like the pinnacle of like, if I'm calling Will Rock out on this, it's got to be like,
yeah, right. You have to be able to hold your own with it. Right. Do you think that was the toughest part of making the arrangement, was getting those synth solos right?
Oh yeah, easily.
Yeah,
like, I mean, everything else, like, you know, you can oftentimes with music there's parts that are art where you can, like, you know, things don't go totally well, you can go with it and make something that you weren't expecting to happen, you know, and it's gonna be great. But sometimes it's a science where you just have to nail it.
Yeah Definitely.
Something I'm curious about with the synths is, what do you use for your synths? Like, what program?
The ones for this specifically, I believe, were all in Logic. Okay. I think my main synth is also available in GarageBand.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's like a super, like, you would expect it to be like base, you know, quote unquote basic synth. But like the main melody synth, I think is just the GarageBand Monoglide analog synth, and I treat it with a little bit of stereo delay, and maybe a little bit of reverb. And the other one, I don't remember what the second one was, but it was probably pretty similar. But it was definitely a Logic synth.
That's the nice thing about synths, is because they're so electronic, unlike other, you know, virtual instruments or something you bring in, is even really basic synths can sound really good and clean. While if you get, you know, a cheap or old VST for other stuff, it can be really rough.
Right. Yeah, it's super obvious when it's like a, when you're trying to do a solo violin or something, and it's like a, like a 20 year old sample, and you're like, wow, really?
Yeah.
Who are you trying to fool?
Exactly.
I'm just going to sneak into his room at night and sample Jeff Ball, and then I will be immensely famous for my violin.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good. That'd be pretty good.
Well, I think that kind of wraps up the interview, unless there's something I missed, Brian or Andrew.
No, I think it's good. You've let me ramble. Well, I appreciate it.
Perfect.
Yeah. I think I got everything I wanted across there.
Cool. Well, in that case, I recommend that everyone go over to OCR and download or stream whatever floats your boat. Carry the Moment. It's a very nice song from an amazing series of video games, which I also highly recommend. But that does it for the interview. So thank you so much for hanging out with us, Andrew.
Yeah, anytime, guys. I love talking with you.
Yes, it was legitimately enlightening, which is what I like interviews to be. And now it's time to head back to the show. And now we're back to the studio live, but not really live.
I am alive.
Oh, well, so am I. Thank goodness for that. Yeah, I was getting a little worried with all that Transylvania stuff going on. Well, thanks again for Andrew for that interview. It was wonderful.
I really enjoyed that. It was so cool, like listening to a song a few times, coming up with all these thoughts about it, and then getting to talk to the person who actually made it and ask them like weirdly specific questions, like, well, about that synth tone, huh?
This is the song that I have been listening to for years at this point, and I've constructed many thoughts and opinions about it.
Yeah, like, and you put a lot onto it. Like, I bet this is how you were thinking. It's like, it wasn't? Okay, well,
yeah.
I like to think still that you were thinking that when composing it.
And so here's a question. Are you out there making video game remixes for the site?
Nope.
And I was kind of addressing our general audience in that case.
I'm like, Brian, I probably would have told you.
But that's good to know. But if you are doing that and you want to be interviewed, you should get in touch with us, because we would probably like to interview you and ask your social security number as well.
Exactly.
And speaking of which, this is the What's Going On With You segment, where we stop talking about ourselves for once.
I don't like this segment.
I know, it's frustrating, Brian. Bear with it. And we'll read listener emails or tweets or whatever you have to say. Unfortunately, this is the first episode, so no one knows we're doing this. It's all in secret.
Yes.
So we don't have it yet.
Oh, wait, we do have one question.
Oh, really?
It comes from Brian Kelly from Houston, Texas.
All right.
And he writes to us,
"Hey, guys, best podcast ever. You guys are great. So
he's not very eloquent, obviously.
No, anyway, definitely
he says,
not.
So how can I get in touch with you guys?
Well, oh, Brian, wow. I'm not quite sure how you sent this in without knowing that, but that's an excellent question.
Yes, it's concerning. However, we have answers.
Great.
You can follow us on Twitter and tweet at us there at OCR Podcast. You will be able to email us soon, but we haven't gotten the email address set up yet.
Right.
So for now, just tweet us. If you want to do a longer DM, just follow us.
We have an answer. If you want to email us, just email the Whales Are Whales account. That's whales, A-R-E-Whales, at gmail.com, and we check that. So.
Oh, good point. All right, so email us at the Whales Are Whales account, which is whalesorewhales@gmail.com. And you can also go to www.ocremix.org and check out the forums. If we're not there yet, we will be soon. And we can have all kinds of fun and whimsical discussions over there.
Exactly. Yeah, make sure to follow us on Twitter to see all our updates, as you mentioned, at OCR Podcast. And if you want to check out the Whales Are Whales Network, it's whales, A-R-E-Whales.com, to see this show and all the other shows we produce. So,
and it may seem like we are charming out the wazoo, and you are heavily impressed with our podcasting skills, but really we're sitting here nervously twiddling our thumbs, wondering if we're making a good podcast for the Overclocked Remix community.
Probably so, not.
Well, I'm making it more dramatic than it needs to be. The point is, we really want to hear.
No, I mean, we're probably not making a good podcast.
Oh, dang it. Well, if you feel like Brian feels, or whatever you feel, we really do want to hear your opinion. Take any suggestions, make changes.
Yeah. We've got a general format here, but it's subject to change a lot depending what people like, what people don't like.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. But that said, here's one idea of something you could submit. How about you help us out with the playlist?
Understand.
The Playlist is a weekly collection of recommendations so we can all discover music together. This week's theme is accordions, like the instrument. Since this is the very first episode of the Overclocked podcast, Brian and I will supply the songs, but next week, submit your own! Spring Emotions from Sonic Runners.
Professor Sycamore's theme from Pokemon X and Y.
Palm Brinks from Dark Cloud 2.
Midnight Mystique from Soul Calibur Broken Destiny.
Title Theme from Animal Crossing Wild World. You've been listening to the Overclocked Podcast. Next week's playlist is Songs with Lyrics. We here at Overclocked Remix officially support Songs with Lyrics. To submit your suggestions, or just say how do you do, hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast, email us at whalesorwhales@gmail.com until we get the real one set up, or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org.
This week's lyrical wisdom. As you move along in your life, keep an open mind and don't forget that if you've got to do something,
you've got to do something.
Believe in yourself.
And here we are. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
I'm Steven.
Hi.
Hey there, listeners, and welcome to the Overclocked Podcast. I'm Steven, one of the two hosts here. And this is the part where the other host chimes in to help
you know,
me out
I was
bit.
Being polite.
Hey there, and welcome to the Overclocked Podcast. I'm Steven, one of your two hosts.
You said two.
I said two.
It sounded like you said
two. Oh my gosh. Hey there! I didn't like that, hey there. Okay,
all right.
So before we flub this whole thing, what are we going to do? We're going to come back in and say that was the show, right? Like,
yeah.
Thanks for coming. We kind of close it out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being so specific.
No. No, you're wrong. Next section is what's going on with you. It's listener mail and everything.
But don't we like, that's when we say goodbye.
No, you're incorrect.
No, you're incorrect. That's not how it works.
No, this is how you wrote the stinking show notes, and I'm sticking to this.
Okay.
We say, what's going on with you? The playlist. Under that is, you've been listening to the Overclocked Remix. Next week playlist is this, and then we do the lyrical wisdom and end it.
Oh, it's all pre-done.
Yeah. No.
So we... No. The that's a script down there. We don't have a
another studio
into the episode.
Oh. Okay. So we don't come back to the studio.
This is the last time we are in the studio.
Fine, you're right, but your show notes are confusing.
Well, what's confusing about it?
That because I didn't know that.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yes. So now we do come in and we're like, that was the show. But we don't have to make a big deal about ending it because we're mostly talking about community.
Well, we actually read the stuff first and then say that was the show. We just don't happen to have anything yet.
Correct. So you're right. We'll come in and we'll say, welcome back. This is the part where we would do this. And
we're just going to say this is our final segment, the playlist.
Yes.
Don't say that was the show, though, because people might turn it off.
Okay, I won't say that was the show.
Don't say that was the show.
I won't say.
All right, we should put all this in at the end.
Yes.
With me, like, yelling at you.
All right, ready?
All right.
That was the show, folks.
Oh, my God!